All righty, good evening, everybody. Welcome to Behind Frenemy Lines, where we have an opposition supporter on to talk about the upcoming game this week. And tonight, we are joined by Fiona from Bomber Banter. We were just having a chuckle at the expense of Carlton's demise off-air, which I'm sure everyone can relate to, whether you're Richmond or an Essendon supporter. But Fiona, welcome. Thanks for jumping on tonight.
Hey, Chris. Thank you for having me. It is an honour. I was just telling you before that I have been watching you and the likes of, you know, Pom and Terry in this space for quite a while, and decided that I wanted to join in the fun. So definitely a newbie in this space, but learning from some of the best, including yourself. So thank you for having me.
No, my pleasure. The more the merrier. I think, you know, fan content creating is a great space and it's evolving rapidly. And I suppose we always talk about the fans respond, I think, better to the fan-related content rather than the club stuff. And I'm sure you might find the same, that because you can sort of call it how it is, that people are more drawn to that because you're saying and thinking what everyone else is rather than just playing a straight bat.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no doubt. It's the fan content is relatable. It's raw. It's real. And yep. That's a legend, Craig. Thanks for being here, Craig. It's organic, and that's how people connect, and that's why I did this, you know, to give people a place to, you know, to have a voice, because ultimately the generic fan and the everyday fan doesn't get to have a voice. They might sit behind a computer or a screen and put out a tweet every now and then, but they don't ultimately get to voice and also communicate with other people, like-minded people in the chat.
So. I think community is the right word, isn't it? I think everyone who's got a fan-based podcast have a really great community within their own sort of confines. And that's why I really enjoy fan cams. And it can be compelling to watch any club's fan cam, because like you said, you're seeing regular people have a chance to have their say. And just everyone, no matter whether they're upset or happy, sad, angry, whatever, it's all coming from the same place, isn't it? Everyone's ultimately just passionate about the club that you support.
Yeah, and everyone, like, it's so ridiculous to say, but we literally have the same goal. We all want to see flags. Maybe not you guys yet. Hey, Paul, thank you for the welcome. Maybe you guys just take a little bit of a while. You and Hawthorne, you just sit back, please, and let some of the ones who have been in the darkness for 20-plus years without much happiness, your fellow Sash friend. So, yes, hello, Jones Racing. Thank you for the welcome.
It still makes me smile, the fact that we've been able to win a flag, because I tell you what, how we would be feeling right now in this rebuild would feel vastly different if we didn't have the success prior, thankfully. But speaking of the Essendon side of things, how did you become an Essendon supporter and how did Bomber Banter begin?
So an Essendon supporter. I've grew up in Essendon, lived in Essendon pretty much all my life before I moved away. So was always in and around Windy Hill, and you know, family supported Essendon, and I was obsessed with my big sister at the time when I was little, and she barracked for Essendon, so I did too. And so I obviously am a woman. So as a little girl, I wasn't obsessed with football. I was very much a Barbies and princesses and all of that. But then in the 2000s, or just before the 2000s era, I was taken down to training one day at Windy Hill, and a young player by the name of Matthew Lloyd saw me kind of running around, mucking around, trying to kick a footy, and I must have tumbled over, and he came over and helped me up and, you know, handballed me the ball and had a little chat to me, and I was obsessed from that day. And he has been an absolute hero since then. My favorite number is still 18 to this day, and I've kind of just felt that connection. Yeah, it's he'll probably never know that, but he got this young female obsessed with the club and the game, and I felt a sense of family in that moment. It sounds a bit irrational, but I think at that point in time, that's probably what I was looking for. So, so that got me obsessed. And then, he's definitely at the time one who gave any time to fans at training. Connor, he really did. He was would have a chat with you, was never standoffish to take a photo or sign something, which, you know, you don't always hear about players, unfortunately.
And I was about to say, you never hear these positive stories. It's always about the negative stuff. They never highlight all the wonderful stuff. They interact with the kids and the fans and make their day, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah, absolutely. And look at the impact it's had on a girl who was brought up not to love footy. I wasn't brought up in it. Like, I wasn't pushed to play football or pushed to enjoy football. I wasn't taken to games, but one day I got taken to training, and look what one kind act by a young footballer at the time had on me. So that's kind of how I fell in love with the game. And then Bomber Banter, as I said, I've watched from afar. You content creators, like, because I love AFL, I love the game, I watch every game, I listen to the radio, I know every player, so I'm a consumer of AFL, and so obviously have consumed a lot of fan content, you know, you guys, Geelong, the Hoops crew, Terry and Pommy, and one day I was just like, I think there is a real market. I don't know why, as Essendon supporters, and obviously Swoop, Luke as well, being a big club, I don't know why we don't have a space where people can just jump on and chat face-to-face, not just through Twitter and things like that. So 2 months ago, decided to just pull the plug, pulled out a name, set up, got all my scarves that I've collected over the years through the member packs out, and here I am.
Very good. And you're smashing it as well, like doing such great thing. If any Bomber supporters watching who haven't already followed Fiona's channel with Bomber Banter, get around it. The link is in the description. So, yeah, Chris, killing it. Buddy Lloyd did coach Armstrong. I think he was his goal kicking coach for a little bit as well. So we could actually do with Matty Lloyd showing our boys how to kick, given our goal kicking woes at the moment. But it's a big game coming up this week. We're both kind of dwindling around the same parts of the ladder. You're obviously doing a bit better than we are. Bombers are 13th coming off a 41-point loss to the Suns, and we're still 17th coming off a 72-point thumping from the Cats. I think we've both lost the last five in a row, and your last win was actually against us in round 11, so it's going to be an absolute match for the ages. But how have you seen your last part of the season post the last Richmond game? What's your form line been like? And I know you've probably suffered a few injuries as well that are probably making the wins a bit harder to come by too.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say we are absolutely ravaged by injury whilst going through a rebuild. So whilst there is a real big negative there, because obviously there's the injury issues, but the positive that's come out of that, and you should be, and you guys I'm sure are seeing it as the same, is it's given opportunity for not just these young players to put their best foot forward, but also for the coaches, Matt Rosa, our list manager, new list manager, to see what we've got and to see what we need and to make some really important big calls on players we've probably held on to for too long in the past. So whilst the losses are not, you know, whilst we all crave that dopamine hit with a win, the losses have been eye-opening, and it's just been, we're in this phase where we're losing, but we know where we're going, and so that kind of takes the emotion from the loss and the pain makes the pain a little bit less, because we know that it's just for the greater good, and it's almost like the bigger picture. So I'm in the mind frame of, if I can see that little bit of extra connectivity or synergy growing from week to week with the group and the young players, you know, learning the game plan, if I can see that little bit of understanding, improvement, then I'm pretty satisfied.
Yeah.
Our skills are deplorable.
Yeah, that can be the hard part, kind of. Like, it's one thing, and it's good to be able to accept and acknowledge where you're at and where you're heading, but then it's the basic skill piece, isn't it, that people get wound up about. And I think in a lot of ways people have got a little, a right to be angry at times, but what I found recently with especially our last few games, that I think our poor skill level is definitely a lot of our fault, but I think there's also credit to be given to some of the opposition teams that you come up against are just quality, and it is what it is. If they're too good of a side and they shut everything down, then so be it.
Have you found, because I know a lot of our supporters have, and over the past 5 weeks, just using that as the kind of the evidence, a lot of the skill errors have been coming, and a lot of the decision-making errors have been coming a lot from our more experienced players rather than our younger crop. So I'm interested to hear where you sit. Are you finding that is happening at Richmond? And if so, what is that telling you about your more experienced players?
It does happen. I think that's what frustrates people. I reckon most supporter bases can handle the young kids making mistakes, because there's that acknowledgement that they're learning and they're just trying to find their feet. But when I think, I don't want to can him too much because he's 250th game this week, but Nick Vlosten had a shocking kick the other week, and I think Toby Nankervis had one. And it's always when it's in the defensive part of your ground, it results in a goal. And I guess you expect a bit more from leaders to make better decisions. but maybe we didn't have players on offer. And yeah, players are always prone to some skill execution errors, but I suppose as supporters, we probably do hold the experienced players and to a higher standard to lead the way and show the young guys what to do. Because if they're butchering it and turning it over, then kind of what hope do we have for the young ones to rise above it? But I suppose a lot of that could sort of stem back to how we even drafted during Dimmer's era, where we didn't necessarily have the most skilled side. Even when we were winning, they just worked well together. So we've never been highly skillful. And I think now without the rest of that talent and the age drop off, that maybe they get exposed a little bit more potentially.
Isn't that interesting to hear that, you know, you wouldn't classify yourself during that era as a highly skilled team. It was more about role-playing.
It was, yeah, and just utter chaos. I mean, everyone would have heard the term chaos ball, but
it's true.
We like pound for pound, like Adelaide were by far and away the best, highest skilled team in 2017, but we just seemed to perform better as a team when it counted. So, and it works well in some areas, but now we're at the stage where we need to start getting some players back into our team that have got some skill behind them, because yeah, it does get a bit infuriating watching the ball get turned over.
Do you feel like you have those players on your list? Are they there, just not developed yet, or are they injured, or do you feel that that's somewhere you need to go to the trade and draft better skill, better ball users, better ball skill execution?
I think we're close. Like Sam Lawler's got great skill, but obviously the kid just did his hamstrings out for the year. Tash Houghton, who's coming in this week, another one that can actually hit a leading forward. Which I joke that that's a novel factor to see at AFL level. So if we see that, it'll be a huge surprise for everybody.
Yeah.
Josh Smiley, we haven't seen yet, but some of the, I suppose, the players who've been around for 2 or 3 years, they're doing all right. Okay. The problem is our forward line is so inexperienced and just so not cohesive that we'll do all this good work out of the back line in the midfield, and it just comes undone really easily. So it's kind of hard to gauge because of how inexperienced the forwards are. I suppose when the Bombers are fully fit, you've got probably a bit of better blend of age experience across the ground. So hopefully yours looks a bit better than ours does.
Yeah. I guess something I get from watching you guys, aside from like just natural exuberance and energy from the young guys, which is what they bring anyway, but you're very effective at denying your opposition rebound 50s. And that's what I don't know about you, but I'm not a huge stat girl. I will look at the stats, but I use the eye test mostly. And that's what I kind of see from you. So do you think that's where, you know, you're trying to get your opposition off guard through pressure and denying them those rebound 50s? Is that where your game style is going with this team?
Hopefully. I mean, it's a lot of it for us is our own ball movement, number one, that it's often it's too predictable. Like we tended to bomb down the line all the time. I remember, I think it was last year when we played you guys, it must have been Jordan Ridley's first game back, and I swear he had about 15 marks.
Intercept.
Yeah. And we have just a bad habit of, we don't try and think our way through situations to work it around the ground. And whether that's an inexperienced thing, I feel like it is. And there has definitely been times where we do move the ball quickly and can go coast to coast and it looks wonderful. But outside of that, we just drop it long and hope for the best. And if Lynch is getting well held or well beaten by his opponent and we've only got two other young forwards up there, it doesn't quite work very well. But the other big problematic part of our game is our midfield. As supporters, we feel our midfield is really, really slow. So even though we might win clearances from a number perspective, to your point about the eye test, it's about the quality of clearance. And we're just not getting anywhere near the quality that other teams get. It's slow. It's just a long hat kick in, whereas your Dacostas of the world and Bontempelli and whatnot, they're bursting away and getting wonderful inside 50s to leading forwards. And that, and we don't seem to make change. Like, I don't know what Essendon do with their midfield crew, but we exclusively play Prestia, Taranto, Hopper and Jack Ross as the only centre-bounce midfielders week after week. No one else enters. Like, there'll be other guys who'll go up around the ground, but in terms of centre-bounce, that is it.
So who is that? Is that a good blend of inside and outside players? Because
they're all the same. Like one's got speed. So when we talk about the Bombers, if Zach Merritt gets one over the top, he's got some pace behind him. He's gone. He's running inside 50. And that we've been screaming to put like a Seth Campbell in there or a Morris Rioli Jr. Mm. had a really good stint in the VFL in the midfield. Just a burst of pace. You know, when we're losing by 70 odd points, why not change it up? But we just don't do it. there must be a reason why that I don't know about. But yeah, the outside speed is what concerns me pretty much week in, week out as the highest issue on our list.
Yeah, I mean, the reason I brought up the rebound 50s is because that's where you'll be able to get us, because if you're already really good at denying your opponents that rebound 50, and all it takes for us to go backwards and sideways is that little bit of pressure and closing space, or playing zone defense, and we will kick backwards and sideways and just allow you to pressure us into a turnover in your forward 50. So whilst your forwards are really inexperienced and don't have that synergy and connection, if they can just put all their efforts into pressuring us and closing space in the 50 and pressuring the ball carrier, we will fall into that trap, and you will force us to turn the ball over.
It's not been a strong suit for us this year. And as much as I love having Tom Lynch in the side from an experience and structural perspective, the biggest part we miss out on with him in the team is it pretty much ties into your exact example, because with him playing, he's the deepest forward, and he's far too slow. So teams are able to get almost three possessions out of the back line, and no one's put pressure on him, and then they're down at the wing, and then the whole zone collapses. But without him, with the younger kids who do have a bit more toe about him, we maybe can defend those kicks a bit more, because we were losing uncontested possession by like over 100 most weeks, which is not sustainable. But I think without Lynch, God bless him, I think we actually bridge the gap a little bit and can hopefully cause some of those turnovers. But it just depends on which Richmond turn up, I guess. But we'll take a look at the announcements for both teams as well, because there's some changes. I think you've got a debutant as well, Oscar Smart, coming in for his first game with Redmond back. And is it Sardis? Have I said that correctly? Back in.
Yep, perfect.
Archie Perkins out. Caldwell out injured. That's a big out, Caldwell and Jay Gresham. Are you happy with your changes?
This is probably, Chris, the first week that all Essendon supporters are probably mutual in their happiness for this team selection.
Really?
We've been crying out. Yeah. So Archie Perkins and Jay Gresham both omitted and have needed to be for quite some weeks now. So finally, unfortunately, Sardis does come in for his opportunity because of Jai Caldwell. He's been put into surgery, unfortunately, with syndesmosis injury, but that opens the door for Sardis. Yep. A lot of people think that he's potentially going to be on the draft, on the trade table at the end of the year. So I essentially see this as his audition for us and other teams.
I think we've been linked to him in some capacity over the years as well, funnily enough.
You have. He's our number five pick from three drafts ago. He is your first, very much so, very much so, Dill.
Can you kick it?
he's very much our first hands on the ball inside midfielder. So his biggest blight is his ability to use the ball after he's got his hands on the ball. His ability to see ball, get ball. So I'm sorry to tell you.
We don't need another one of those. We don't need another.
He's your Darcy Parrish in and under. He's courageous and brave, and he'll put his body on the line. But he has been sent back to the VFL to work on his A, defensive accountability, and B, his kicking. So he's pretty good with the handballs, but he will get first hands on the balls more often than not.
Okay, interesting. Because, that'll be interesting to see how that plays out from a trade perspective. And what about Oscar Smart? What can you tell us about him?
So Oscar Smart, just to let us all know how smart he is, he has two T's at the end of his name. An absolute pocket rocket at not in height. He's 180 centimetres. He's a forward, a smallish medium forward with a hell of a lot of flair. He's got that little bit of razzle dazzle. He's powerful and strong through the hips. He's a pressure. He's going to do a lot of pressuring, running around and pressuring and helping Isaac Kakko out, who has needed a hand down there in the small forward brigade. He's really good aerially, whereas a lot of medium to small forwards kind of stay closer to ground. He's really good in the air and, loves a highlight or two. Very crafty. Yeah.
What I feel like that Scott's done this deliberately because of how well, I think it was Angus Clark played on his debut, kicking three goals and just bullied Hugo Ralph-Smith. I think yes, on the wing. The theme here, and he's trying to do it again. But there's no Hugo this time, so hopefully we won't get sucked in again. But to be honest, though, if he's a quick and zippy small forward like Kakko is, that's actually a problem for us because as much as we obviously love Brody and Vlosten, they are not as quick as they once were. So Jaden Short.
Well, last time, I'm actually worried about Vlosten because last time I believe we had Guelphy who played a defensive role on Vlosten and kind of shut down a lot of his influence and a lot of his drive. And we're the worst in the competition at allowing teams to ping the ball out of our 50. And I have just visions now of Vlosten being able to do that.
Well, yeah, well, and he's going to want to have a big game in his 250th as well, I guess. But
yeah,
in terms of our changes, we had four forced outs, and I was actually really surprised we made a unforced change as well. So Hugo, Ralesmith, Lawler, Alga, and Bolter all out. Bolter has to go to bed early, and the other ones are injured. And Jacob Blight was the surprise omission. Surprise in the sense that I think he had about 17 or 18 disposals at 100% last week with about 14 marks. But
his efficiency very good.
Yeah, I know they were kind of maybe some nothing possessions, but the ins, we've got Jaden Short, Jake Kaczynski, Taj Houghton for debut, which we're bloody excited about, Tyler Young and James Trezise. I think the ins all made sense. I think all of those names were floated for us in one way, shape or form. And I guess Kaczynski is interesting because he's been playing VFL defense for us for the last 2 years, and he's never going to crack the AFL team. It's just too far back on the pecking order. But due to circumstance, last week in the VFL, one of our forwards went down injured, and they actually threw Cozzy Ford to play pretty much a defensive forward. And I feel like that's what he's coming to do. His role will essentially be, I think he'll play on either Laverde or Ridley, and his job will quite literally be to not let them mark the ball. Because we cough it up so much. And if he can just bring it to ground and give our smalls half a chance to actually try and find the footy. So I don't think he'll get too dangerous himself near goal. I reckon it's going to be a bit of a defensive one. So
is he? How's his footy IQ? Because if he lines up on Ridley, he's going to have to be really good at that. Because Ridley is very smart. Laverde, he'll probably be able to cover.
Yeah, I think it's almost going to be a tagging role, I reckon. So maybe Laverde is probably a better option if he stays a bit deeper. Although honestly, Ridley's probably the one I worry about the most from PTSD from the other game where he took 15 marks.
Is Cozzy a chance to play forward?
Cozzy will have to play exclusively forward, but in a negating role. And then we'll have Tom Sims. And the reason why he has to do that is because our other forwards are Tom Sims and Jonty Fall, who are first-year players. And whilst I acknowledge they're going to be good players in the future, I've said for a few weeks now, we just need more experienced bodies down there to be able to help them bash and crash and bring the ball to ground, because otherwise they're going up against players like Ridley and Laverde, who are really, really seasoned, who can just take him out of the game too easily. But finally made the move, and then, we lose Lynch, we lost Lefau, and now it's, probably Kaczynski's turn. Taj Houghton, he's probably the big one for us. I'm sure you might have seen a bit of...
Tell me a bit about him, yeah.
He's going to be... He could potentially... I know all clubs will say this about their draftees, but...
He could conceivably be...
a top five pick that we got at pick 12. So he did his ACL in round three of the Coates League last year, and he was smashing that and school football. So his school footy coach was Scott Pendlebury, and even Pendle said that if it wasn't for the knee, he could have gone 1-3. Even Sam Lawler said that he probably would have gone ahead of him. So he's still very skinny and slight, but in terms of comparison, he's kind of like a hybrid between Shane Edwards and Shea Bolton from a Richmond perspective.
Nice.
So he'll probably play half forward this week. He did do some centre bounce stuff for the VFL. I don't think we'll expose him to that this year because we tend to not play anyone else in there, like I said earlier. But long term, he'll definitely be a midfielder half forward. But it's footy IQ. It's through the roof. Like his timing and knowing when to run, how to run. And it seems to be a big trend with a lot of the young kids these days. But that's the most exciting part of his game, I guess. So... Yeah, it's been a long time coming for him. And hopefully he has a ripper. I think he's about 183, 184 centimetres, I think.
Good
size. Does have some good hops, can jump.
Good. Does he hit the scoreboard or is he?
Yeah, he kicked one goal 3 in the VFL the other week and it should have been at least 2-1. He kicked another goal last week. So he has hit the scoreboard. He set shot kicking for goals, probably the part of the game I'd want to see him work on a bit more. But yeah, he's probably going to do it a bit more at ground level than anything else. But yeah, so we're just excited to see another debutant out there, strutty stuff. And what better stage against another big club on the MCG in front of what is hopefully 75, 80,000 people?
Absolutely. Yeah,
same for
absolutely.
Smart. Like, it's the things that, you know, it's dreams material. Like, you're dreaming playing the MCG in front of a big crowd. And yeah, two kids on debut. It's awesome.
Absolutely, absolutely. And two big, you know, supporter bases that turn up to the footy and you know, not fair weather supporters. So they'll both have a lot of support behind them, which is great.
It's an interesting game, isn't it? Because we've both been struggling in a lot of ways. But then I also think because of that, that both teams are going to go into this game believing they should be winning it or a good chance of winning it. It's almost like a mini final in some weird way, do you think?
Absolutely, definitely. We have, I don't know about you, but we've, I mean, obviously it's been well said that we're up to our 12th debutant of the season. And I believe like four of them haven't had a win so far. So for morale, as you've said before, we're both coming off five losses. And yeah, I just think we're both going to be, for the morale of the group, both our teams are going to be kind of desperate for that. I think we both concede that draft picks is where it's at for both our clubs. So neither of us want to kind of finish too high and compromise a good draft pick. Yeah. But I think it's understated what a bit of a dopamine hit in a win can do for a young group particularly. So, and we'll both be thinking that we have a chance. Absolutely.
It'll be interesting to see the mindset of both teams. I know teams will come out and say they go out every week and try to win, and I understand that. But when we're going out against them, even when you guys are going out against Brisbane Lions or Geelong, who are just obliterating everyone, I'm sure that subconsciously somewhere it's like, oh, shit, here we go. And then you concede a few goals and then you drop your bundle. But I don't think we're going to see that this week for either team. I really do think it'll be a pretty hot contest from the get-go. And hopefully it's a good spectacle. I suppose the concern is it turns ugly, just skill-wise. But hopefully it's a good game.
Yeah, I think that is the negative here. It's probably going to be who's worse. I didn't want to say it, but who's shittest of the shit, basically. Yeah. and it's, I think the fear is it's really going to feel like a bottom 13, bottom 15, 13th versus 15th game.
Yeah.
But, you know, as supporters, we'll both, hopefully it'll be close and it'll be a decent spectacle in that regard, because if it's shit skills and a blowout either way, then that is just not like that's a game I wouldn't even want to watch a replay of. So
we don't need that. There we go. At least we're both not Carlton. This is exactly the thing, Skadoosh. At least we are both not Carlton.
That's true.
I suppose my mentality is as well. Like, we've had obviously the big losses recently, and I know you guys cop some as well, but I'd be more disappointed that if we lose this game by a similar margin to what we've lost the recent games. I think that would send a really, really bad, I don't know, message or signal to the members, I guess, for both clubs. So I don't think either team can afford it to get it to be a blowout, even if they're going to lose. It has to be, what are we saying, an acceptable loss? Is it like, is it 25? Is it 30 points? I don't know, but it can't be a blowout for either side.
Well, let me put your mind at ease, chat and Chris and all the Tiger supporters. We don't blow anybody out. Even when we go down to your level, or like we bring you to our level, we do not. I think the highest margin that we have this year is maybe, or even over the last 3 years, has been like maybe 39, 40 points. So we don't blow anybody out. So don't worry.
It's a first for everything, I guess, but hopefully it doesn't happen. Let's look at some key matchups quickly. The first one, I always like a big ruck battle, and this is interesting for me because last time we played you, we had Samson Ryan in ruck and not Nankervis. And it was one of those things that seemed like a good idea at the time. I think the general thought process was that Ryan would be able to go with Goldie just because he's a bit on the older side, I suppose, but he's still a very crafty ruckman and knows what he's doing. And I reckon that Goldie got the better of him. So Nank against Goldie is going to be two big brutes just duking it out for four quarters, I think, and it should be fascinating.
Yeah, it's almost a kind of a like for like in terms of their footy careers. Obviously, we know Toddy's a bit ahead, but Nank's, how old's Nank now?
I think he's either on 30 or just over 30. But yeah, okay, he's in the twilight anyway.
Yeah. So Goldie's definitely got a few years at the ripe old age of 37. But
yeah, I know. That's crazy.
Been, Isn't that ridiculous? And still as fit as ever. But the one thing that Goldstein doesn't give us is a hell of a lot of follow-up run and follow-up movement and athleticism outside of tapping. He generally will give us first use and our mids first use of the ball, which is wonderful. And he was actually quite good aerially last week, but he does not get around the ground all too well. How's Nate going? How's Nate going in that department?
It's probably his strong suit, like his follow-up work from a contest. He kind of turns into a midfielder until the ball exits that direct area, then he probably just slows down a little bit. The only thing I don't know is, though, is how much, like, Nate's shouldered the workload for a lot of this season, so at some point I feel like he's going to tire. And we've got Tom Sims as backup ruck. So who backup rucks for you when Gold is off the ground at the moment?
It's 2 meter Peter, so he's been I would say 20%, 20 to 30% of the ruck work when with Goldie.
Okay, so that could be a part of the or a time in the game where you do get a bit more of a distinct ruck advantage going up against Tom Sims in his let's call it eighth or ninth game. He's obviously very, very slightly built. 2 meter Peter could actually cause some issues on that front, but you've got to respect Goldie though. 37 and still going. That's a massive effort. That's huge.
Yeah, he's just the ultimate professional. No one keeps himself in better nick mentally or physically than him, and that's why you don't get to 37 as a ruckman as well if you're not absolutely at elite levels in both those departments. So,
absolutely.
Flying old Gold.
The next matchup, I think this might play out. I'm not too sure. I've gone Jonty Fall on Ridley, obviously highlighted before how dangerous Ridley
can be. I'm a big fan of Jonty. I'm a big fan. I think he's going to be
right. He just has a crack. His goal kicking's let him down a little bit this year. He kicked a goal last week, and I'm hoping he can sort of find some confidence from that. But we just need him to – I don't want to say shadow Ridley because I want Jonty to play his own game, but he needs to be mindful of what Ridley's doing and where he's going and positioning himself for those kicks down the line. He just needs to body him and compete. And Ridley will take his fair share of marks, I've got no doubt. But if Jonty can somehow find a way to halve at least a handful of those and give us a chance, I think it's actually a vital matchup for us trying to hit the scoreboard, because we're struggling to kick over 50 points against these really, you know, top four sides. And we kind of need to, in order to be a chance to win the game, we realistically need to be kicking 75, 80 to 90 points. And we won't do that if we keep kicking it to Ridley and letting mark it again.
Yeah, I think the Achilles heel of Ridley, if you put quite a bit of body on him, he relies on his smarts, his calmness, his composure with the ball. But if you put quite a bit of body on him, and obviously he's not a huge frame, and also keep him accountable whilst, you know, don't rough him up, but I'm saying in terms of making your presence known, I will say, that is the way to work your way around Ridley, because if you don't use your body and put your body in between him, he's going to read everything. He's a magnificent reader and is just one of our greater intercept players, not just with marking, but even if a slight touch or a slight punch or even just putting himself in the way, he just reads the play magnificently. So I would say to Jonty, if you just put a little bit of body on him, he's not going to like that.
And how's the backline functioned without Zach Reid? He's obviously been... I know he's like young, but he's been a big part of what you've been doing, and then obviously he's now out on the sidelines. How's the back line transformed with him not being in there?
Well, we have no Ben Mackay and no Zach Reid, who are our two full forwards, and poor old Laverty, who's not a full back and not at the height of a backman, is playing completely undersized in both height and weight most weeks. We in the mid-season draft we recruited Lockie Blackiston, who is a ruckman and played ruck for the Waffle. And he is he's playing fullback for us since he came in. And so he'll line up on probably the biggest one you got down there. Not necessarily the most skilled, but he'll take the biggest and Laverty will take the best, basically. That's how it's kind of been going. So it's a makeshift back line, but we're making do.
I find that fascinating because we're in a makeshift forward line stage. We've got a makeshift back line against a makeshift forward line, and no one knows what's going to happen at either end.
Yeah.
It's
unpredictable
to the teammates. In a lot of ways, isn't it? Like, it's probably a good time to play each other.
It's so funny because it's unpredictable not only to the teammates but to the opposition as well, and you don't really want to be unpredictable to your teammates, but that's where we're at. Our forward line and our back line is just – it's just a full of players who are playing out of position, undersized, and or new. That's our back line at the moment, so that's what I mean.
We're on the one half of the ground as well. We're kind of containing them all to one end and just – it's a game – it's almost a game within a game, that forward line versus back
really
line.
It really is. It really is. It's fascinating. And but to Blakiston's credit, to having never really played, you know, as a fullback, he has been pretty solid. So,
taking the opportunity. That's all we can ask.
Well, you know, he's on a 6-month contract from the mid-season, so he's certainly having an incredible audition so far.
The next one, again, I don't know if this will eventuate, and I'm probably asking an awful lot of Luke Traynor in his 14th
game,
whatever it is.
What a great experience for him.
Yeah, he's been super this year. He's another competitive animal who just wants the best of himself.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure, if I'm not mistaken, I think Nick Martin might have had it almost 40 times last time he played you. And he obviously has the ability to play half forward or half back. So I guess first, where do you prefer him playing? Do you think he does more damage up forward? I know he's probably taken a little bit to adjust to that role, being such a good halfback for so long. But where do you think he does the most damage for you?
Look, I think he's so crafty. I love him ahead of the ball. I love him creating things up forward. He's one of our better users of the ball in a team that is really low skilled and badly skilled. So I do love him on the ball, and I love his midfield minutes. Something happens when he's around, and especially in the forward line. So I do love him ahead of the ball. Out of necessity, we've had some holes down back, and we've tried to put him there because he is one of our best ball users. So we want our best ball users delivering out of the 50, and, you know, creating some run and carry from the back line. So we did trial him there, but then you take away strengths from the forward line and that point of difference. So this year, with all our injuries, he and Merritt are the two who have really just gone where we've needed them. So prior to Ridley coming back last week, both he and Merritt were really relegated a lot to the back line and having to help out and play tall down there. But last week, he really didn't have the biggest best game last week, but he's had a wonderful year in terms of his output and being able to pop up and make a difference, and he can kick a goal very quickly, and his fitness is at a very high level. So how's Traynor's fitness? Can he run with him? Can he go with him?
That's the thing. Being obviously a new kid, he's not going to have that same endurance. And maybe if Martin plays half forward, maybe it's a Tom Brown instead that might go to him. He's got another year or two in the system. I still think Martin would do him for pace, though. I don't necessarily think we'll tag either. I just think we need to show him a bit more respect than what we did last time. You can't let players get 40-odd touches. And I'm already assuming that Zach Merritt's going to end up on the same number simply because he's a workhorse as well. And I don't think we'll get anywhere near him either. But I don't think it would be wise to let two of your better ball users get that much of it as freely as they did last time. But he's a genuine weapon. And if nothing else, if Traynor does line up on him, it's just a good learning experience as well, following someone like Nick Martin around.
Well, I would, if I was Adam Uze, I would be saying to Traynor, you go with one of the best at this at the moment, one of the best, and you see how hard he works, because he and 2 meter Peter this year have just gone to next levels in their fitness and in their leadership. So I would be saying to Traynor, use that as you watch what he does off the ball, on the ball, and you learn and soak up everything you can, because he's quite underrated in that department, Nick. So I'd be saying this to Traynor. Just go with him.
Just take the learnings and see what comes of it. What have I done there? Wrong button. And the final one I've got, we kind of touched on this one earlier, was, and it may eventuate, it may not. It'll probably happen in some way, shape, or form. I did have it as Blight initially, but he got dropped. So I changed it to Kaczynski on Laverde for similar reasons to Fall versus Ridley. I just think that if we don't bring the ball to ground, we will not kick a score big enough. And I know you mentioned that Laverde is kind of punching above his weight a little bit, playing on bigger guys. I don't think that Cozzy's got the footy smarts to play on Ridley, so I think by default this will be his matchup.
This is a good matchup,
Look, Cozzy's, like I said earlier, not been on the AFL radar for a little while, but he did show on the weekend in the VFL that he can do this makeshift forward role and negate a little bit, and I guess the question becomes, can he also then find himself in a dangerous enough spot to kick a goal himself? But it'll be a fascinating battle to see if your defenders can sort of bypass the defensiveness of our forwards to make an impact on the contest.
Yeah, and the one, well, not the one, he's got many, but his one major fault, Laverty, is his mind. If you get in his head, he'll be giving Cozzy every free kick under the sun, and he just needs to give one away to get under his skin. So again, Cozzy, if he can put like body on him and annoy him, few little elbows in the side, and he'll get in his head, and that's all he'll really need to do, because he's got him for height. And I think most definitely, if you can, this is probably, do you think you probably get an advantage if your mids and half forwards bomb the ball?
Maybe. Given that. Yeah, maybe. And like bringing Tyler Young as well was interesting too, because I don't know whether he'll drift forward as well, but yeah. Sims, Fall and Cozzy could stretch your defence a little bit just because of the plays you've got missing.
That's right.
I still think we need to try and find a bit of method moving it forward, but you don't want to be too haphazard with it. But maybe it's the one time all season that we might actually have a height advantage because of the makeup of your backline currently.
Yeah, definitely. We'll be wanting you not to do that. That's why I say this is probably possibly, and especially when it's a one-on-one, if you can isolate Cozzy with Laverty, I'm saying Cozzy wins that battle seven times out of 10. So if you can potentially isolate them, who are your who would you say your small, most dangerous forward?
So we'll probably go with Seth Campbell and Ryan Mansell. So Mansell probably had a career or a season best game last week. He had 22 touches, yeah, 3 goals. And Seth Campbell's had a pretty good year as well. So they're probably the two that will be at the front and centre most of the time. And Morris Rioli Jr. And I'm guessing Taj Hotton will be down there as well to swoop too. So
I'm just trying to think who Andy McGrath will kind of go to. He generally goes to your best small forward and kind of is very exceptional at kind of shutting them down. And he's not so great when he has to use the ball, but in terms of shutting down and making a small forward completely ineffectual, I'm talking Bobby Hill, Charlie Cameron, they all hate playing on him. So
I'd probably say Seth Campbell, I reckon. If you had to pick one, I think Seth's got more capacity to get off the chain and do a bit more damage than what Mansell does. I think McGrath can also hurt the other way a little bit too, just with creating the change and starting the event of the ball moving down the ground. Same as Redmond. I know he's back in this week. I'm happy for my Supercoach draft that he's back in. But he's one that is a kind of a kickstarter for you guys moving the ball from down back as well. And he's got good pace too, which can also hurt us.
Yeah. And he's one that we can kind of – he's very versatile. So if we need him to run up a wing or help out on the wing, or even he trained in the preseason in the midfield. So he's one we'll probably look to move around the ground, I would say, Saturday night, given that we didn't drop like-for-like defender.
Yeah. The other player we ever mentioned for Essendon is Nate Caddy, who I think is going to be an absolute star.
We go to the footy just to watch him.
He's a bums-on-seats player for sure.
He is generating, Chris, so much of Essendon supporters' joy this year. He and Kakko, but him mainly, is just a way to just make you smile even when you lose. He really is. Who is going to take him? Who can go with him?
Well, I mean,
because he is chaos.
it's a double issue because we don't really have anyone that's 2 meters to go 2 meter Peter. So Miller's going to have to take one. I don't know, Nate Caddy. It can't be. I don't think Broad can do it. He's just not athletic enough to do it. Older Broad or a younger Broad could have, but maybe it's a Tom Brown. Maybe Tyler Young might get a chance. I think Tyler Young's coming in for his first AFL game for a while. But, they are both genuine concerns of getting off the leash just because of how athletic that Caddy is and just how tall Peter Wright is. He's a good kick for goal too, Peter Wright.
Yeah, he won't. You know, we've also got Archie May, who was a mid-season draft to Collingwood, obviously Demo Brereton's stepson as well, which is brought up all the time. And he kicked a career high. Well, he's only played 4 games for us so far, but he kicked 3 last week. And so he's going to stretch your back line again. So I think Miller will go to him. And then when Peter Wright is not rucking and down there, he'll probably try and take Miller and isolate Miller away from May and Caddy. And so whoever, good luck to whoever has to go with Caddy, because he's so unpredictable to his teammates, let alone to the opposition. So he's a nightmare for some of his teammates sometimes. I mean, we're still building that chemistry and that synergy, but yeah. I can imagine he's not going to make a fun night for whoever goes on him. But again, what another great experience for whichever young guy. Yeah, so
Tubby's third year or second year?
This is his second year, Caddy's second year. Yeah.
Scary, isn't it? Like,
scary. You're
just
waiting
for that one game where he just has a massive, massive burst out, kicks, you know, five or six goals and just dominates. It doesn't seem like it's far away when you watch him. He's going to be good.
Yeah, he's having bigger moments. But eventually he's still got spaghetti arms, so he's still very lean, and he'll always probably be pretty lean given that he's so athletic and so his endurance is incredible. But he's only going from strength to strength, so that's wonderful.
No, he's going to cause us some serious headaches. But with that all said and done, what do you think the final margin will be for this game? You don't have to be kind. If you think the Bombers by 30 or 40, that's all good to go with that.
Okay. Oh, look, we don't do blowouts, so we're lucky if we just scrape wins. So I'm going to, because we've had a very sad run over the last 5 weeks, and I've tipped against us every week, this week I'm going to hope for that dopamine hit, and I'm going to tip Bombers by 13.
Yeah. I'm living in hope with this one as well. Similar to you, I tipped against Richmond most weeks because I'll get more right than I will wrong.
Yeah, that's right.
I think on the Monday night show, I reckon I went Richmond by about 15. But, if we lose, I just want to see a proper competitive match because we've been blown out the last three or four games, and rightfully so. Just want to see a close contest for at least 3.5 to 4 quarters. But, who knows? Depends on when Richmond turns up. And I'm not sure what the weather's meant to be like on Saturday night, but hopefully it holds off and we can, get the
score. Oh, my God, can you imagine if it's a wet weather game? Both our teams are both very badly skilled.
It could be near all games. It could be a soccer score if there's a downpour.
It could very much be a draw, definitely. It might not be pretty. But, look, on my team show tonight, Chris, that I did over on Bomber Banter, every week I give my chat and my viewers an opportunity to win a Essendon or whoever you barrack for cookie pack, which I make as a pastry chef myself. So being here tonight, I want to give you guys and everyone in the chat here tonight and yourself an opportunity to win a cookie pack, obviously a Richmond one for you. The way to enter the competition is you need to give me either a first goal scorer and a first point scorer across the ground, Essendon or Richmond. Or if you want to enter the second comp, I need an overall tackler for the game, overall disposal getter, and overall winner. So you can enter whichever category you like. But everyone in the chat, give me your put in the chat your picks. So if you pick the first category, I need a first goal scorer and a first point scorer. And if you pick the second category, I need most tackles at the end of the game, most disposals, and an overall winner. So Essendon or Richmond. So obviously, I will come back to the chat at the end once we're all finished, said and done, and I will note down your picks. But what have you got for me, Chris? Who do you think you're going to go with?
I'll bring up the teams again so people can have a look at the lineups for names and whatnot.
Yep.
For first goal kicker, geez, I'm praying that we can just kick. Like, I like to kick a goal a quarter. I'll go out lunch and say Jonty Fall for first goal.
Okay.
Just because I think he desperately needs it, and I think it would actually kickstart us a little bit. It's living in hope, but we'll go Jonty Fall. And first behind, maybe we'll go Nate Caddy because I think he's going to ultimately find the ball. I mean, he's not going to be short of having shots for goal. He will definitely be up and about. But, make sure you chuck your predictions in chat.
Definitely.
That's an awesome competition. I like that. It's really cool.
Yeah. So if you want to have a look at the actual type of cookie pack, just go back and have a look at my team show tonight. At the very end, I do the competition every week. Nobody has won it yet. I've made it hard. Well, not hard, but I've made it kind of tricky and difficult purposely. So then the satisfaction from winning and receiving your cookie pack, It will be posted to you. So it's all the more satisfying. So Hawk Tim going first goal, Will Setterfield, and first point, Ben Hobbs. Nice. I like it. Well, Seth Point, May Seth goal. Campbell. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Love it. Yeah. So once we're all done, I'll go back and I'll make a list of all of these, and then I'll get, if any of you win in the chat, I'll get Chris to grab your details, and then I'll put me in touch with your details, and I'll obviously send out your cookie pack. And if you are a Hawk, obviously, oh no, I think you have a Richmond display picture, so you must be Richmond.
Yeah,
you just called Hawk, no problem. But if you do barrack for the Hawks or another team, it can definitely be customized to have whatever theme you would like your cookies. So
that's so good. That's such a good idea.
Yeah, just something a little. But yeah, I had to also make it hard because, or else I'd be making cookie packs and sending out cookie packs every week. So I had to make it hard. So
that's fair enough.
Feel free to pop your picks in for that.
All right, and the last thing I want to find out, if you were coaching against Essendon, what would you tell the Richmond players as the number one thing to try and do to beat them? How would you beat the Bombers?
Oh, I don't want to give this away in case Adam Uze is listening to you.
We'll send it to him tomorrow.
Yeah, of course. I know you've got a direct line, don't you, Chris? Yeah. I would say focus on your strengths. I do believe I looked at this stat that you're coming second, as I said, for denying those rebound 50s, and we are very poor. We crumble under pressure. So put all of your focus in your forward half pressure, and you will absolutely force us to turn the ball over. And whether it's a small Sonzi pouncing on a ground ball or a forward being, you know, nice and crafty, you will absolutely force us, whether it's a holding the ball or a direct turnover, and you will get goals that way.
Well, fingers crossed, Uze. I'll put that to you tomorrow morning.
I've got a direct line to Brad, so what are you giving me?
You just have to hit targets and pressure as well. I mean, what do we think? Is it 200's the elite pressure ranking that we see on the team? If even when teams are at about the 180 odd, it seems to be enough to break us. And if you can cut off the corridor and make us kick down the line relentlessly, I think it just plays into opposition hands. And I just think teams who are a bit more advanced in their development in their football cycle are able to set up quicker than what we can react to, and then they're able to springboard and counterattack. So that's why a player like Mason Redmond worries me, because if you turn the ball over in the back line, you can kind of flick it to him quickly and he's away. And I just don't know if we're going to be clear enough to shut that down. But, it'll be interesting. The mismatch forwards and the mismatch backs will be one to watch as well. But, yes, precious is always key for most wins and losses against us.
Hopefully,
you're probably going to beat us.
I could say this is the thing, and something I've realised having started this channel and consuming a lot of football-creating content creators is that we all tend to have the same complaints. So we all complain that the media are harsh on us. We all think that we click, like they write stories about us because we click on the stories. We all think that the AFL fixture screwed us, and we all think that our skills are bad. We all think that we bombed inside 50 and we never lower our eyes. So I think, I think I could say the same for you, Tubby. You could probably play. And to be honest, if you have a good first quarter, we're probably not coming back from it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it'd be nice to kick straight and give ourselves half a chance. But, it should be a fascinating game, Fiona, and I thank you so much for your time tonight. I really appreciate it. Bombers fans, make sure you get around Fiona and her channel, Bomber Banter. They're absolutely smashing it. The link is in the description. And, yeah, it's always good to have more creators on who are doing good things. So look forward to having you back on again in the future, no doubt. Although I think we won't play each other again until next year because none of us are finals bound, but I'm sure we'll think of other stuff that we can all do as creators in the meantime to do other videos along the way. But thank you again so much for tonight. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Chris. It's been an honour to hang out with you for a little time tonight and your chat. Thank you for having me and welcoming the newbie into the content creators realm. I'm sure we'll think of something in the off season to drum up and do some great content. So thank you again, and go Bombers.
Yeah. Just have a good game, everybody. Just make it look somewhat pretty for us to watch.
And no injuries.
I know. That's for both. Honestly, both teams, that's the number one thing. No injuries, and just play a somewhat better looking game than what we do in other weeks. And hopefully we can all enjoy it. So enjoy the footy on Saturday night, everybody, and we'll see you next week for the next version of Behind Frenemy Lines.
See you guys.